Well, good morning. Man, it's great to have you here, and I do want to wish all the fathers, grandfathers, happy Father's Day to you, and for those that are not fathers, happy soon to be Father's Day for you. It may happen, and so for me, it took a while. I didn't get married until I was, 28? 29. 29 years old until I even got married, and I'll get to that in just a minute. I had always been thinking about being a father ever since actually high school. What you think, don't go any other direction than where I'm taking you right now, if you're going there. I used to love reading books. I still do love reading books, but I used to go to a bookstore all the time. I used to actually go with my best friend. And they're not here yet, but Martha and Joseph Turner, his son was Joey Turner and was my best friend. And we'd go to coffee shops and to bookstores and usually use bookstores all the time. And one of the things that I always got, every time I went somewhere, I started building a collection because I always started thinking about someday I knew I was going to be a father. I always wanted to be a dad. And so the one book that I got, it wasn't a Bible, it wasn't anything really spiritual. It was Curious George is what I got. But ever since then, I always was thinking that someday that I would be able to present that to my kids. And when I first met my wife, and while we were just dating and stuff, she found out and she saw these books that I had. And she thought it was kind of interesting. Why do you still have Curious George books? And I said, because these are for my future kids. I got her. That's what got her. It wasn't for any other reason. Now, as a kindergarten reading teacher, that sat really well with her. I didn't know I was going to end up marrying a kindergarten teacher, but it worked out in my benefit. And that's how you see how God works out all things together for his good, just so you know. So if you want to find somebody, kids, that may do it. I don't know, but that was my story. I am excited about being here. You know, I've only been a father for 14 years. That's not long. I don't have a whole lot of experience of being a father. I still got more to come. But I've learned from my father and from grandfathers and from watching people like you over the years, for 46 years, on what it looks like to be a father. And for close to 30 years, I've watched my heavenly father become the best father of what I want to try to emulate every single day. Because it's him, the Heavenly Father, my Abba, who I look towards, who's the perfect, true Father. See, we're flawed. We're kind of flawed as fathers. We don't do everything right. My kids will tell you that. My wife will definitely share it with you. I'm a flawed father, but I'm on a pursuit to be more like my Heavenly Father. Even my father, who shares a prayer and comes up here, although I love him, he's not perfect. And the guy that's speaking before you as your pastor, I'm not perfect. We're on a pursuit of this holiness. We're on a pursuit of how to be better than where we first started off. And you can't get any better unless you are pursuing the Heavenly Father to be able to emulate. He's the only way. He's the perfect way. You know, I think about when I was looking at sons and fathers in terms of what their relationship was like, and I was trying to find a good quote of people with their dads. I came across Mark Twain. Everybody knows we're keeping the reading thing here with Mark Twain. And I found this. He said this, and I quote, "When I was a boy at 14, my father was so ignorant." We could stop there, right, and preach a sermon on that, right? "I could hardly stand to be in the same room with him. But when I became 21 years old, I was astonished on how much he had learned in 7 years." We probably, if we're all honest, we could probably relate to that in some way. And maybe some of us are still thinking that. And, you know, there's probably times when even my own kids, 13 or 14 years old, look at me and probably say, you know, you got a long ways to go, Dad. You know, you haven't experienced life like I have. And sometimes we just want to wait and just, you know, allow our kids to be able to grow and mature and say, you know, we're not as stupid as you think we may be. And I got two great kids that, thankfully, I don't feel like they feel that way about me. But there are times where they probably say, you don't get me. You don't understand what we're going through. And you know what? Not all the time do we understand what other people are going through, because we're not living in their world that they live in sometimes. And so we must stop and listen and try to connect and get into their world. This morning, I want to keep this message somewhat simple. I didn't say short. I said simple. But hopefully, I can go deep with you. Hopefully, I can penetrate your hearts. Hopefully, you'll stay awake with me. Hopefully, you'll end up acknowledging the things that I want you to acknowledge and to look at as we go into God's Word. And I'm going to start this session. You know, one of the things, we did a survey, and one of the things that I got the most back, and I really began to listen, is that people here in this congregation, they said, we want you to spend some time talking about family, about marriage, about parenting. And looking at how we can make our relationships within the family unit really grow and spiritually get together and make it stronger. And so I really began to think about this, and I couldn't think of a better time as we approach also with VBS. So I wanted to be able to share a short series with you this coming month. And it goes like this: leaving a legacy, a life that outlives me. I want you to think about your life and where you are in your time frame and in your age right now. How can you leave a legacy behind that outlives you? What is the church thinking about you? What does your children think about you? What does your neighbors think about you? What does your coworkers think about you? What does God think about you? How are you leaving a legacy behind that will outlive you? How can we live a legacy for our kids and our grandkids that sets the bar extremely high for our kids to come up to? Now, if we set the bar only to right here, and that's it for our kids to reach, that's not that high. I mean, I think if I even took a little bit of a running jump and decided to head plant into the piano, I could do it. But if the bar was up that high, I wouldn't make it. And spiritually speaking, what if we set the bar so high that that's what we want our kids to try to achieve, to get there, to be able to leap to be able to touch? In our world, in our societies, around, we got 6 billion people. And guys, let me tell you, the bar's not even set this high in our homes. The bar's down here. It's not even that high. And we see that around. As an educator, I see it. I've seen it for years. As a counselor, I've seen it for years. The bars within the families and the structure of the families are not that high. And while we're on VBS, we got just a little bit of a plug. I invite you to invite your friends' kids to this. Why? Because they're going to be able to hear the gospel. They're going to hear things that's going to end up, that's really going to be able to interact and be able to help them in their own spiritual journey. Yes, there's going to be activities. There's going to be snacks. There's going to be music. There's going to be arts and crafts and fun activities and fun games outside. But the title, what I love about this title, and just thinking about that, God's a reckless, he shows this reckless kind of love. He goes after the people that are hurting, the people that need to be rescued. It's called Shipwrecked, Rescued by Jesus. These kids are going to learn stories in times of loneliness, what it's going to be like, in times of struggles. when they're making wrong choices growing up, we have a personal father. We have a personal friend. We have a personal savior that's there for our children. And for them to learn at such a young age to say that no matter what you have ever done, sweet kid, no matter what you will ever do, adolescent, no matter where you go, adult, you have a savior, a father, a friend that is here to rescue you, that is always there for you. I remember my dad growing up. I never really, to be honest with you, I never had to really worry about much. You know why? It's because I always felt, and it's because he always reminded me that he was my security blanket. My mom and my dad were always there. No matter how bad it got, and there was times that it was bad, on certain situations, I always felt like I always had a security underneath me. Even when I quit a job after 9 days, I quit a job, I got a job, I quit in 9 days, I have no job. That's not smart. But my dad told me, you'll be fine. Why? Because he was my security. I didn't have to stress. I didn't have to freak out. I got to know that God had a plan for my life, and that he was working through my father and through my mom to make sure that I was taken care of no matter what was going to happen in my life. And I know many of you guys can probably look back at your own fathers and your own moms and say maybe that was true for you. And I know that some of you guys can look at your own fathers and mothers and say, no, that's not my story. I had to do it on my own because my father was never around. Or my father passed away, or my mom passed away. My dad's dad, my grandfather died when he was 3-4 years old on his fourth, going on his fourth birthday, on the way to his birthday, and died on the road in Key West. He didn't have his father. His mom was moved around all over the place. She struggled with many things, and he took care of his sister. I'll never understand that. But some of you guys lived out that story. This Father's Day can be a time of loneliness. Maybe your fathers are gone and they're with the Lord. Maybe they are gone and you don't know where they are physically. They have left. Maybe some of them are incarcerated. Maybe some of them just left out. Maybe some are struggling. Maybe some of them are sitting right next to you. Maybe some of them are going strong with you. And you're so excited and the relationship has been great. But that's not everybody's story. I think about the importance and the responsibility that our Heavenly Father has passed down to us to be one that brings about a rescue for all of us that are shipwrecked. I wish everything was always smooth sailing. Don't you? Sometimes you wish everything was just smooth sailing. Sometimes you're just looking, can I just have a day where the sails are going and I can see the beauty in the horizon and there's not a worry in the world? But that's not reality all the time for our life. We may get some distances like that. But as the tides and the storms and the things that come into real life, I think, you know, to me, sometimes that's what God does. Because even though we may not have it here physically, we always have it spiritually. He's always doing things to allow us to draw closer to who? Him. And even though it may not always be smooth sailing, you got the true navigator. You got the true one that knows exactly where he's taking you. He is their compass. He's the one that's taking you exactly where he wants you to go. I'll still never forget. I read about this story, and I was so inspired of this one story of this man. This man and this woman, they woke up, and their house was on fire. Their house was on fire. And this guy named Brandon Gamble, and his wife were outside, and the house was on fire. It was in flame, and it was no hope whatsoever. And his wife said to him, "Don't go back in. It's too late." And Brandon looked at his wife, and I quote, "I am going to go after them. I'm going to get them." And he left his wife to the side, and he rushes into the burning house. And he goes and saves and rescues all five of his children, ages from 6 years old to 13 years old. Five kids needed rescue. The unfortunate part is after he got the five out, he didn't make it out. He succumbed to the smoke and the fire, and it took his life. But his family was shipwrecked. And God brought about a Savior for his family. What a perfect illustration of what Jesus Christ did for us. Burning in the fires of flames eternally and rescuing us and bringing us out because of the cross. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not only this story was so heroic, but it also leads into this perfect illustration to share that our Father in heaven has done for you and for me that no other person has ever done and no other person ever will do. He's the only one, the only God out there that's ever been worshipped that gave up his one and only Son to rescue you from the deeps of despair. As we get into God's Word today, I want to share a scripture with you that will hopefully set all of this in motion. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 through 7. If you open up God's Word real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 through 7. It's in your Old Testament. Go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. In our Old Testament. We'll have scriptures up there, but I tell you what, the beautiful sound that God loves is hearing music and hearing his word, his Bible being opened up. How can we intentionally invest and leave a legacy for our kids? That's the question. How can we love and leave a legacy that outlives us? Have you ever woke up? Have you ever just woke up and then looked at your wife and looked at your kids and ever just say, "I want to leave something behind"? Have you ever just started as a parent? Have you ever just started seeing the material things that you start wanting to leave behind? And the material things are great. You say, "I want them to have this. I want this person to have this. I want this person to have that." Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. They're good keepsakes. But let me tell you something. The greatest thing that we can leave behind is leaving a spiritual legacy that will invest into our children and to their children for generations to come. So often we read books. So often we listen to speakers, our pastors, our counselors. We pay money for seminars. And let me tell you something. Dating back thousands of years is the true answer of how to leave a legacy for your kids. I'm going to save you guys a lot of money. I'm going to save you guys a lot of time because the answer is right here in the scripture, and it's been so golden that this is the text. If you want to leave a legacy with your children, with the generations to come, this is the text on how to parent your children, on how to invest into your grandkids. This is the scripture that should be changing the way that we live our lives every single day. Even when we go to the workplace, when we go into the schools, when children, when you're trying to honor your parents, this is a scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 through 7 says this. You shall love hold on to that word, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength or your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. The first thing that we see right off the bat is that we see a very important word, you. Don't go past that word too quickly. You. In the Greek, it means you. I looked it up. You can say su in the Greek, but it means you. It doesn't mean in Texas, y'all. It doesn't mean in California, you guys. It means you. So don't begin to right here. Don't start looking at other people. This is introspectively looking right now at who? No, me. You, right? It's very personal here. It's very personal. Even though Moses is talking to the Israelites, even though this is set up and talking to generations to come, this is a command. It's on purpose. It's intentional. It's directed to who? You. To me. I need to start saying me. I can't go past this part. It all starts with me. It all starts with you. What God wants to talk about right now is just you. Where are you at in your spiritual journey? Who God wants to deal with is you personally. So often we want to shift the blame. We don't want to deal with that. Say, well, we're in the right place right now. We're doing good right now. And we want to put it on our wife's fault. We want to put it on the kids. We want to put it on the economy. We want to put it on the government. Here's what we need to be done. We need to put it on us. We need to put it on you and me, on the situation, on how God wants to deal with me. He wants to address me. And he's going to, if we'll let him. And we come to this profoundly impossible task and this command that has been placed upon you and me to do something. What is it? You shall love. You shall love. Now, this word love is not like love, like I love Italian food. I love football. I love my wife. I love my kids. It's not like that. This is a whole different type of kind of love. A whole different kind of love. This whole idea of this other Greek word, this agape, this unconditional, this way of love that only God can really show you in perfection. And what was the qualifier that he gives? He says, for us, for me, to love with all of my what? My heart, with my soul, and with my might, and with my strength, who I am. Everything that I am, I'm supposed to love God back. It becomes personal. This love is so unique. You know where this love comes from? It comes from actually, it's rolled out and comes from the actual Ten Commandments. The very first one, love God with all your what? Heart. So, it's rolled out from there. Did you know that? This is actually rolled out from the Ten Commandments, not only to show us that we need to obey Him, that we have these laws, we have these things, but the first one is to pursue a love, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But it's also to show us that we cannot fulfill any of those ten. That's why I say this is a command that is very impossible. It's a command that the bar is set so high that unfortunately none of us can even come close to even jumping over. put the bar way up there at the top of the roof, and then go higher. See, it's not about us being able to obey those laws. It's about for us to understand that we cannot fulfill those laws. We cannot love like that. And what we need is rescue. What we need is a Savior. So you need to understand something. God is saying that I love you first. I am here for you first. This is what the commandments is about. This is the love that he's trying to present to us. This is the type of love he's trying to show us with our own children. I love you before you're going to ever love me. I pursue you before you're ever going to pursue me. I forgive you before you'll ever acknowledge that you need forgiving. I love you. And John 4:19 says this. We love him because what? He first what? Loved us. Anybody ever had a baby? Raise your hand. Did you love your baby when it was born? Or did you wait for him or her to bake you a sandwich? I didn't wait till 12 years until my kids could learn how to make me a sandwich before I said, oh, now I love you. Good job, Cameron. Pierce, go make me coffee. That was very good. I love you. From the time that they were born, we fell in love with him. It's a different kind of love. I mean, I love my wife. I love my parents. But there's something special about loving your kids. They didn't do anything to earn it. It's a gift. You didn't do nothing to earn it. You're a gift to God. Do you understand that, church? You're a gift to God. So every day you wake up, understand that you are so loved by your Heavenly Father. I believe this is one of the missing links in our families today. This is why the bar is so low right now. Mothers, did you know that you were designed, uniquely designed to love your kids only a way that a mother can? Fathers, did you know that you were perfectly, uniquely designed to love your kids only a way that a father can? Here's a statistic that has been true for literally over 50 years. When it comes to a family where their kids are being saved, being born again, I want you to listen to this. Moms that come to Christ first in the family, and then the father is lost. Chances of the children being saved is 17%. Over the past 50 years, if a mother has been saved and the father is lost, the chances of the children going into church, growing into a relationship with the Lord is at literally 17%. Fathers, for a father to come to Christ and lead their family in the right way, and going to church and leading them in the family, it jumps to, watch this, 93%. Fathers, do you think that makes an impact in your children's lives? Seventeen to 93%. I can't even do the math on that quick, but I know that that's a big jump. Somebody get back to me on that. Yes. The bar has been raised. The bar has been raised, church. Not by me as a pastor, Not by a counselor, not by your godly grandparents. The bar has been raised by the Heavenly Father because that's what was intended to be. But I'm learning more and more as we grow. I don't know if you're a stepmom. I don't know if you're a stepfather. I don't know if you're a single mom that's raising your kids, and I don't know if you're a single father raising your kids. And I do know this, there's all of those that I just named in this church sitting here right here today. Can I just tell you right off the bat, you're a hero. You are a hero. You should give yourself a hand, please. Seriously. By the way, that was a lousy hand because it deserves a lot more than that. It deserves a lot more than that because you're doing something that is so unique. If you don't have your spouse to help you and you're raising them on your own with maybe other support, or if you're walking into a relationship where they've been calling someone dad or mom and you're walking into this and not replacing them but being the type of mom and father that you're supposed to be, leaving a legacy that surpasses you, you are in a unique situation that is heroic. And don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. God is pouring special blessings on you because He knows that is no easy task to do that. We can look at the Bible, we can look at Timothy. Timothy in the Bible, before he went on his first missionary journey with the Apostle Paul, was raised by his mom and his grandmother. 2 Timothy 1:5, it's not up there, I'll read it really quick. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. What did she do? What did that mom do? What did that grandmother do? They took it to the whole next level. They set the bar. And here Timothy is going to become one of these major missionaries with the Apostle Paul. Don't underestimate the influence and the impact that you make, women. You are leaving an impact. This is Father's Day, but I'm going to tell you, it's Mother's Day every day for what you're doing. I want to start and end with this. It's the first principle that I want to share, and I'll continue as the time goes. I want to start and end with this. Your days may be long, but your years are short on earth. Your days may be long, but your years are short here on earth. What do I mean in this context? Here in Deuteronomy, Moses, in this verse, he's addressing the Israelites. They're held in captivity. They're held in slavery for 400 years. The days are long. Think about what it was like for these people. Day in, day out, hard labor, hot sun, grueling days, making bricks, yielding to and tending to fields. Long hours of being abused, long hours of dealing with all the stuff they're having to deal with and still trying to raise a family. You think you go to long hours at work and come home to your family? Oh my goodness, study the culture and the generation of these slaves. Those are long days. Torture, hard, long days of labor. And then finally they get released and they go and they start going out in the desert and then the wilderness. Long days. I don't think they just walked and got to the place. We found it. The milk and the honey, it was all here. They walked a half a mile on their, and they had their camels and everything was beautiful. Everything was set and everything was selling beautifully. Is that what happened? Long days of wilderness, long days of groaning and moaning and complaining and whining. Has anybody ever been there in your long day before? I worked for a brick company. Long days of 10 hours sitting behind a phone and a computer typing in orders, and every call I had, they were cussing me out, asking one question, where is my brick? I could have picked it up every time and said, I don't know. Tomorrow. Call the boss. And I was thinking, why am I getting beat up every day? So finally, after 7 years, I quit the job and got this other job for long 9 days. And then I quit that job. And then I go and I have no job. And every day was a beautiful, long day of no work. I've never worked so hard not having a job. It was the hardest days of my life. Because I know what I was going home to. Why did you quit that job? Both of them. Long days. And if you're a parent, think about your long days, not just at work, but your long days that you got when you go home from work. That you say, I don't want to go home. I'd rather stay at work. Because you know what happened to those people that were wandering the wilderness? They longed to go back to slavery. Did you know that? That's how long the days of wilderness wandering was. And I quote, look at this, Exodus 16:3 says, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. But now you have brought us into this wilderness. It was better for them to be slaves. That's how long of a day it was for them wondering and having no hope and wondering what's going to happen and will they ever see the promised land. How many of you guys are looking still for the promised land? How many of your days are long? How many of you guys are still every day you're moaning and grinding and griping and complaining about the long days of doctor's visits? Changing diapers, sleep depravity, daycare drop-offs, money spent, more diapers, feedings, nightly feedings, daily feedings. They don't need to be fed. All the messes. My wife and I, we had one room in our bedroom. With two kids, less than a year apart. It was prison. You should have seen our room. We shut both doors. And one of us would try to run out saying, I'll go to the store. I'll cook dinner. I'll clean. I'll do anything. Don't leave me in here alone. That was me. They have to be changed again? Seriously? The tantrums that they would have, the rehearsals, the teacher meetings, the practices, the games, the rebellion, Facebook, social media is killing us. All the stuff that's going on, the curfews. Why are you up till 3 a.m. still? Getting a driver's license, wrecking the cars. After the driver's license, fighting about curfews, them getting a job. Long days, but the years are short. I got 5 years left. I got 5 years left with my two kids. Unless my kids turn out to be Michael Rotondo. You know the guy that made international news? 30 years old. His parents have to take him to court to get out of the house. International news. Even the news commentators don't have anything to say. Like, did I remind you I was 29 when I got married? Let it sink in for a little bit. Yes, your pastor. I beat him by 1 year. Long days. the years are short. I want to end with this. Parents, VBS is not going to help your kids that much. Church is not going to help your kids that much. School is not going to help your kids that much. But so often, the bar has been set so low in the family that they say, hey, all these other things will take care of my kids. They'll learn it there. They'll learn it in VBS. They'll learn it in church. They'll learn it in Sunday school. They're going to learn it in all these other places. I'm going to pawn them off and let everybody else raise my kids, and I'll let them set the bar. It's the greatest misconception. It's the greatest tragedy that we are placing on our families today that is killing our society and our world to make them be who they're supposed to be. It's home is the core place. It's home where they're spending all their time daily to watch and learn and to share and to seek the faith that's taking place at home. This verse, this command, this teaching is being lost by the billions. How do you and I leave a legacy that lives beyond us? It starts with one thing. You. Where are you at spiritually? Where are you at in your walk with Christ? Because if somebody else is doing it, we've missed it. I don't want anyone raising my two kids. It's on me. It's on my wife. And if you're single, it's on you. If you're a step-parent, walk in it. It's you. No matter how they feel about you, you be what God has made you and intended you to be, because he has worked out all things for his good. It's his plan. We mess things up, but it's on us to get it figured out. And it starts with you. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to come and to be able to hear your word. This great command, this great teaching, thousands of years of instruction on how to train and to teach and guide our families. And Lord, as we take this verse and we chew on it some more next week, I pray that these people will come back and hear the remaining part of this verse and the remaining part of this story. That God, that you would help us and guide us and teach us and show us what the true father is supposed to look like. And if there's not a father around, or if we're missing our fathers, or if we're wondering maybe even where our fathers are today, Lord, I pray that each person here today would be guided by your peace and your comfort, would be guided by your sincere love, the kind of love that only you can give. Father God, we thank you for this Father's Day. We thank you that you are our Father. And I pray that God, if there's anyone here today that has not claimed you as Abba Father, has not claimed you as Lord and the rescuer of all things to come, that they will find you today for you are the one that ran into the house and gave everything for your children. And we give you this time. And we wish each and every single person happy Father's Day, happy Mother's Day, and happy Family Day. For the bar has been set for each of us to live out. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.